This morning we're going to continue our study in the book of 1 John, so if you want to be making your way there, I encourage you to do so. Or if you utilize the YouVersion Bible app, or even if you don't, if you've got a smartphone, you can go to the interactive sermon notes there. I hope you were using those to be able to sing along with us. It's nice to hear those voices in the background. So we thank you guys that are sitting in the lawn chairs letting us hear you this morning. Have you ever heard someone say something to the effect, well, you got to consider the source? Have you ever heard someone say that? Usually it's pretty derogatory, and I sure hope people aren't saying it about me when they're saying it, but according to the Urban Dictionary, consider the source is another way of saying that any information received from a certain source cannot be taken seriously because that source has been wrong before or lacks credibility. The funny thing about that is the fact that I got that definition from the Urban Dictionary, which lacks credibility. Another one of those would be something like Wikipedia, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But whenever you talk about considering the source, if you're my age or older, you'll probably remember the old gossip rag called the National Enquirer. I don't even know if it still is in existence. It is? Well, bless their hearts. But the National Enquirer was the quintessential, bad source of information as I was growing up, and now there's a plethora of bad sources of information. You know, when doing research for a school paper or anything like that, one of the things your professors or your teachers will tell you almost immediately as they are giving the assignment for the research project, they will let you know that Wikipedia is not a credible source of information. And, you know, we use Wikipedia all the time, right? When you do a Google search, Wikipedia is the first thing that pops up in that information. But the problem with Wikipedia is, and this is according to a Wikipedia page, I'm going to read this, okay? The problem is that anyone can edit anything on a Wikipedia page at any given time. That means, quote, that any information it contains at any particular time could be vandalism, a work in progress, or just plain wrong, end quote. And so, you know, when we're looking up information on the internet, it's always important to consider the source. This is held true when trying to discover accurate information about the effects of the coronavirus in our state and region, and for that matter, all around the world. Not all resources or not all sources are equal when it comes to the veracity of the information. I've provided you this morning, if you're looking at the digital worship bulletin, it's in there, or it's in the interactive sermon notes, I've provided you with an updated graph of the coronavirus new cases here in Northwest Arkansas in Washington and Benton counties. I do want to point out that the graph in the sermon notes is more up to date, though, because we printed the worship bulletin on Friday morning. But, you know, whether it's the latest COVID-19 update or if it's juicy gossip about our favorite celebrity, you know, it is always wise to consider the source of our information before blindly accepting that information as truth. And so as I think about this, and I think about the importance of that, then I come to this place and realize if it's important for us to check the veracity of that information, how much more important is it for us to check on things that are trying to teach us, that is, our, you know, the Word of God. These sources that are supposedly teaching us the truth from the Word of God. Are we considering the source as we check those things out? And so as we move on into chapter 4 of the book of 1 John, we're confronted with this idea of considering the source. And in the first 6 verses of this chapter, John provides us with a 4-step process that we should take in order to identify whether or not the truth we are hearing is actually truth. And so if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open it or look in the YouVersion Bible app and read along with me. We'll be reading 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 6. The Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." This morning, we're going to be looking at this topic of testing the spirits by His Spirit in us. Testing the Spirit by His Spirit in us. And as we consider this topic, we're going to be looking at this 4-step process for identifying truth in our lives. So the first step of that process that we want to look at this morning is this: we must think critically without being critical. We must think critically without being critical. Now, this first verse in 1 John chapter 4 says to test the spirits. Now, what does it mean to test the spirits? Well, test has a lot of different meanings. You know, as I was thinking through it this week, I was thinking, you know, one way of looking at it is, have you ever heard someone say, "Don't test me, boy"? Well, I've heard that. Maybe you haven't, but I've heard that in my life. Or, you know, well, we have a test today. You know, those are all different types of tests, but that's actually not what this word is talking about here. Test here, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, means to examine, prove, or scrutinize, specifically to see whether a thing is genuine or not. So when it says to test the spirits, we are trying to determine whether or not the spirits are genuine or true. Now, what's it talking about when it's referring to spirits? Because it's not talking here about the Holy Spirit. It's saying test the spirits. Well, the spirit here refers to every teacher claiming inspiration by the Holy Spirit. You see, when I stand before you each Sunday and when other teachers stand before you, I hope and I pray that they are speaking from what God has revealed to them, what they have discovered in their study of God's Word. They are speaking on behalf of God. And so what this verse is telling us here is to test the spirits. He's instructing us to scrutinize every teacher who claims to be speaking for God. Scrutinize or examine every teacher that claims to be speaking for God. So I said that the first step in identifying truth is to speak critically, or sorry, to think critically without being critical. Now, this idea of critically, we all understand what it means to criticize someone, right? Or to find fault in someone, or to judge someone. But that's the number one definition for the word critically. But the number three definition for the word critically is involving skillful judgment as to truth or merit. You see, when we do a critical analysis, what we're doing is we are evaluating, we are analyzing to see if something is true or not. And so when we think critically, we are evaluating, we are analyzing, we are skillfully judging that information to see if it is true. So when we think critically, we ought not be critical. We don't need to be judgmental. We don't need to be harsh. But we must always be thinking critically. You see, understanding and applying the Bible requires skillful judgment. And it is a skill that can be learned, not something, some special gift that I received that someone else did not. It is a skill to be learned. We can learn how to understand and apply the Bible. I've always said this about understanding and applying the Bible, and that is understanding and applying the Bible is an art and it is a science. As a science, it is governed by rules and principles as to how it ought to be understood. And we've got to learn those rules and we've got to learn those principles of how to understand and apply the Bible. But the artistic aspect of understanding the Bible involves the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth, as the Bible tells us over and over again, that the Holy Spirit's one of his primary responsibilities beyond convicting us of sin is to guide us into the truth that God would have for us. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know how to do that. I mean, that's all fine and good if you want to talk about what it means to understand and apply the Bible, but how do I actually learn to do that? Because I did say it's a skill to be learned, right? Well, if that's something that you would like to learn more about, you can do one of two things. You can follow the link that's in your interactive sermon notes, or you can just contact me directly and say, Brother Wade, I want to learn more about how to understand and apply the Bible. And what we can do is we can get you set up with a 9-week course that is focused on discovering the necessary tools for understanding God's Word and the necessary steps toward understanding God's will for your life. There's a survey link that you can find there in your interactive sermon notes. Just answer those 4 simple questions and we'll get you hooked up, or again, just come and talk to me about it, and we'll be glad to set you up on this study. Being able to understand and apply the Bible properly is one of the greatest things that you could possibly ever learn in your Christian walk. You see, learning to understand and apply the Bible properly enables you to become a self-feeder. You may be wondering, what are you talking about, Brother Wade? When I talk about being a self-feeder, that means that you're not depending upon me or anyone else to teach you the truth of God's Word. You are depending upon the Holy Spirit of God to teach you His Word. But you can't do that if you don't know how to understand and apply this book to your life. Paul explained this to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a verse you're probably many are very, very familiar with. He said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That idea of rightly handling the word of truth is what we're talking about when we talk about understanding and applying the Bible and the principles and the rules that we need to follow to understand the Bible. That's what Paul said to Timothy. But Paul had a very different message when he was speaking to the church at Corinth and the Corinthian believers. He said this in chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready." Folks, we don't want to be spiritual infants. We want to be self-feeders. We want to be people who are growing and maturing in our faith. So the first step toward identifying truth is to think critically without being critical. Step number two is this: to test others' teachings by their understanding of who Jesus is. We need to test others' teachings by their understanding of who Jesus is. In verse 2 of 1 John 4, he said, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." So anytime you're looking into someone's teaching and you're sitting and you're listening to them, whether that's you're reading a book or you're listening to a podcast or you're watching a preacher on TV, whatever, there are some questions you need to ask about what that person believes before you subject yourself to their teaching. Some of those questions would include these. Do they believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If they don't listen to them. Do they believe that Jesus was a human in the flesh? Do they believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do they believe that Jesus lived as a man and was tempted in every way as a man and yet did not sin ever, not once? Do they believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Folks, if the answer to any of these questions is no, then they are a false teacher, or as 1 John 4 refers to it, they are an antichrist. And we don't need to listen to them. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh or judgmental here. I'm trying to simply share with you what God's Word says about the people that we listen to, about those spirits, those teachers who are teaching us according to God's Word. If they're not teaching according to God's Word, and yet they claim to be teaching God's Word, then we don't need to listen to them. The fact is, there are a lot of teachers and a lot of preachers out there today that do not believe these simple truths about Jesus Christ. And so we should not allow their teaching to influence us, no matter how popular they are, or no matter how cool their programs are, or their materials are, or whether or not their books are carried by Christianbook.com or Lifeway.com, we need to scrutinize every teacher who claims to be speaking for God. Now, I will say that there are other doctrinal issues that I believe are important, but none is as important as Christology, the study of who Jesus Christ is. And so the second step in this process of identifying truth is that we must test others' teaching by their understanding of who Jesus is. Step number three is that we must trust in the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You must trust in the Holy Spirit that lives in you. You see, the Holy Spirit enables believers to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. That's what 1 John 4:4 tells us. It says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them." Who is them? Well, it's referring back to verse 3 when it's talking about the false teachers, the antichrists. He said, "You have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This concept is what we refer to in Christian theology as discernment. You see, the Holy Spirit enables believers to discern whether a message is of God or not. This is the spiritual gift of discernment that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 says, "For to one is given through the Spirit," and then it lists out several different things. But in verse 10, it says that the ability to distinguish between spirits is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a spiritual gift. He gives us that ability to discern whether something is of God or not of God. The writer of the book of Hebrews also spoke of this concept that Paul did earlier that we talked about spiritually mature and spiritually immature people in relation to the food, you know, the spiritual food they are able to you know, digest. Can they only digest spiritual milk or can they digest spiritual meat? Well, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 talks about this. Verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." He's saying you need somebody to teach you the basic truths from God's word because you are spiritually mature. He said, goes on and says, "You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled." Did you notice that? Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I love what the writer of Hebrews says here because he makes it very clear that this is a skill that can be learned, but it is a skill that is learned through our growth and maturity in Christ. And he talks about those powers of discernment. You see, we must learn to discern what is good and what is evil, but we must trust in the Holy Spirit that lives in us to help us to discern these things. You see, all true believers have the power of discernment at their disposal because the Holy Spirit that lives in them is greater than he that is in the world. This reminds me of Solomon's request of the Lord when he first became the king of Israel back in 1 Kings chapter 3. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And when the Lord appeared to him in a dream, he asked Solomon, he said, "What do you want? Ask me anything and I will give it to you. What do you want?" And Solomon's reply to the Lord really pleased him. He said in 1 Kings 3, verse 9, he said, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." You see, Solomon realized the need, the necessity of being able to understand the difference between good and evil. He understood the need for discernment. Well, the Lord responded to him by saying, I will give you all that you asked for. I will give you wisdom for governing Israel, but I'm going to go much further than that. I'm not just going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you what you did not ask for. I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you fame. And if you obey me, I will even give you a long life, is what God told him. Well, folks, the same wisdom of discernment that was available to Solomon, that he asked God for, that same discernment and wisdom is available also to us today. And this is why James wrote in James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. All we have to do, according to God's word, is ask God for wisdom, and he will give it generously. So the first two steps in identifying truth was, number one, think critically without being critical. Number two, test others' teaching by their understanding of who Jesus is. And this third step in identifying truth and those who speak the truth is to trust the Spirit who lives in you to help you discern that truth. And then finally, the fourth step is to take in account who agrees with you. Consider who is in agreement with you and who is not. Take into account who agrees with you. In the last two verses of our passage, 1 John 4, verses 5 and 6, the Bible goes on to say, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's a very famous passage referring to the armor of God. And there's something that's in that passage that I wanted to point out today. You know, there have been a lot of things that people are, you know, a lot of different issues and so forth that people are standing up for in the world today. And it's been this way for many generations. We all have our issues. But we must be willing to stand up against the world's logic. And we must be willing to stand up against the world's reasoning and stand firm in God's word and what God teaches. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There are a lot of schemes out there in the world today that are trying to get our attention and get us to focus on them. But they're schemes. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand firm. You know, it's when I think about taking a stand in your culture and standing for the truths of God's Word, because it's not just enough to identify what the truth is. We must take a stand for that truth. We must obey the truth that God reveals to us. And so when I think about taking a stand in a culture that stands against you, I immediately think of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And the stories that we find in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6. And if you're not familiar with those, I want to encourage you to take a little bit of time sometime today or sometime this week and spend some time looking at the follow-up Bible study, the growth group Bible study that is provided to you through the YouVersion Bible app, or it's available on our website. Because what we do is we dive a little deeper into each one of these stories. Well, what stories am I talking about? Well, the first story in chapter 1 was Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They took a stand to not eat the food that the king was providing to them. They took a stand and said, we're not going to eat that kind of food. We're going to obey the laws that God has given to us. And so they took that stand, and you'll have to read the story to see what the results of that stand were. The second story in that book was in Daniel chapter 3. And what happened next was that King Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden statue, a huge golden statue. My memory serves, it was 90 feet tall. And he set this up and he told everyone, you must bow down to this idol, this statue. Well, those three Hebrew children that I mentioned before, that I don't remember their Hebrew names, but I remember the names given to them later, and that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those three Hebrew children chose to take a stand, literally take a stand, and would not bow down to that statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And you probably remember the results of that story. It had something to do with a fiery furnace. But read Daniel chapter 3 to get more about that. They were willing to take a stand. The third story I know from that book is in Daniel chapter 6. And that was when some of King Nebuchadnezzar's advisors convinced him to pass a decree that for 30 days people could not pray to anyone else other than to the king. And they did this in order to trap Daniel. And so what did Daniel do? Well, it tells us in Daniel chapter 6 that after this decree came out, he went to his home and he sat in his upper bedroom window where he always knelt down to pray every day, and he continued to pray just like he had always done. And in that story then, King Nebuchadnezzar had to carry out the punishment for this decree. It broke his heart because he loved Daniel, and Daniel was a trusted advisor. And so King Nebuchadnezzar threw Daniel into a pit of hungry lions. And then we read in chapter 6 to find out what happened to Daniel as a result. And in each one of these stories, in chapter 1, chapter 3, and chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, we see how that God was glorified when his people took a stand. Well, folks, when we take a stand, we must be certain that the stand we are taking is standing for God and not against him. And one of the ways that we can identify the truth of God is to take into account who is agreeing with us. See, we must make certain that what we're standing for is the truth of God. This is the fourth step in identifying the truth. We said, number one, think critically without being critical. Number two, test others' teaching by who they say Jesus is. Number three, trust in the Holy Spirit's discernment. And now, number four, take into account who agrees with you. You see, if good and godly people disagree with you on an issue, I would challenge you to reevaluate your position on that issue. It would be wise of you to reevaluate your stance on an issue if good and godly people are not in agreement. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 tells us, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So, listen to those around you. Listen to those people who you respect. Help them to help you form the decisions that you make about truth and standing for truth and identifying what that truth is in our lives. My question to you this morning is, who are you allowing into your life to influence your spiritual growth? I am no fool. I know that I am not the only spiritual influence in your life. Or if I am, then I really feel sorry for you. Especially in this time of the coronavirus epidemic, I hear of people saying, oh, I go to church seven times on Sunday, because they're listening to a preacher from here and a preacher from there and all of these different places. My question to you is, who are you allowing into your life to influence your spiritual growth? Folks, just because a book says it is Christian does not necessarily mean that it holds to the truth of God's Word. Just because it's sold by Christian websites does not mean that it is holding to the truth of God's Word. You guys know by now how much I love the YouVersion Bible app. I suggested every Sunday that you get on there and you look at our interactive sermon notes and utilize that for Bible reading plans and different things. I love the YouVersion Bible app. I love the Bible reading plans that it provides. But I must warn you that many of the so-called Bible reading plans have very little Bible reading in them. It doesn't take long for you to discover that as you look through them. You'll discover that many of them are more devotional. It's devotional material where you're reading someone's thoughts and then maybe at the beginning or the end, it has a verse or maybe two. Now, I would encourage you to find Bible reading plans that have more Bible than devotional writing in them. And in that regard, I highly suggest utilizing the Bible Project Bible reading plans. They have a short video that helps you understand about what you're about to read, and then it gives you God's Word and lets God's Word speak into your heart rather than their own words speak into your heart. In fact, I put one a link to one that's for the wisdom books, which is, you know, Psalms and Proverbs in a 60-day Bible reading plan. I encourage you to do that, and that's in your interactive sermon notes. Now, I want to hasten to say there is nothing wrong with reading devotional style material. There's nothing wrong with reading a devotional book. There's nothing wrong with utilizing a Bible reading plan that is primarily devotional. Just realize what it is and identify it as what it is. And as you're scrutinizing that Bible reading plan, ask yourself the question, who is it that is writing what I am reading? Because I am allowing them to influence my spiritual growth, I need to know what they believe. Who is it that's writing it? Are they following the rules for understanding and applying the Bible? Which I've talked to you about before, that is a process called exegesis, which means to draw truth out of the Scripture. Are they practicing proper exegesis, or are they imposing their own interpretation into and onto the text, which is what we call eisegesis? We want people to draw truth out of God's Word. We don't want to read their thoughts about what God's Word might say. We want the truth to come out of the Word of God. And folks, it really does matter. It really does matter what you put into your mind. It really does matter who you are reading and who you are listening to as you're growing in your spiritual walk. The Apostle John said it very simply. He said, "Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Folks, we've got to be careful about who we allow into our lives that are influencing our spiritual growth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the warnings that we have heeded this morning from your word about testing the spirits and trying to determine whether or not the teachers that are influencing our lives are truly teaching your word. And so, Father, as we walk through our daily lives this week, I ask, Father, that you would help us to be disciplined in our study of your word, to draw the truth out of your word, and not impose our own thoughts and concepts onto the text. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be smart about who we listen to. Help us as we identify truth that will then impact our lives for your glory. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.